old and in the way, sisters. Laugh and learn with me, Janet.
And me, Nancy.
The Bitchin' Sisters. As we tell it like it is, the way it was back then and the mess we're in now.
We're growing old in a new world with skyrocketing costs, crazy fashions, changing norms, and I hate to remind you, with limited time left, we've got some practical ideas that might work for you.
And we definitely have some opinions that you might have too.
We'll entertain you and inform you. Let's look back at how it was and ahead to what's coming.
And if you're young, maybe you can learn something from your elders. Mm-hmm. Supposedly we're wise, but we've definitely been there and done that.
Well, Janet, you know that growing up in our teenage years and after high school, you went in one direction, and I went in a completely opposite direction. You got married, had kids, and I went off to college, and you don't really know what happened to me. And so I thought that I would share with you some of the close calls I've had.
Oh, okay. You mean when I was sitting around watching Beverly Hillbillies on TV, you were doing something else?
Yes, I was.
Okay. So let's have it.
Well, the things that I'm going to tell you are the things that movies are made of. They took place when I was young, during the time that I always call the stupid years, when I was extremely naive about the world, and I thought everyone was nice. And I just want to preface this with an article that I had cut out one time from our town newspaper, and it's about why you shouldn't hitchhike.
Okay.
And it says that inside Monroe County, which you and I live in, or I do, there were 675 murders and rapes on the interstate highways in the United States that have been attributed to hitchhiking. And then when you add in less traveled roads, then the estimate is at 2,700 by the FBI. So I just want to preface what I'm going to tell you by saying don't hitchhike. But it was the 60s and early 70s, and I hitchhiked a lot all across America and even into Mexico. Did you know that?
Nope. I knew you hitchhiked, but we never heard much about it. And of course, our parents were totally against it. I mean, really worried about you.
Yeah. I remember sitting down with Mom and Dad on their bed, in their bedroom, and telling them that I would really like a car. And they said no. And I said, well, I'm going to have to hitchhike then. And Mom said, don't tell me anything bad that happens. And I said, okay.
That would be Mom.
Yeah. So the first incident was when I was hitchhiking with my girlfriend, Elvira. In fact, it was our first night. And we had just hitchhiked from Tallahassee, where we went to school, to a concert in Georgia. And we were now headed out west. A girl picked us up. And she, I can't remember her name, but she asked if we wanted to spend the night with her since it was towards evening and she was getting a motel. We immediately said, yeah, and whispered, is this really hitchhiking? We were so lucky, we thought. She even ordered a steak, and it was the first time I ever had lobster.
Oh, hitchhiking, yes, I love it.
And it was from the dining room right to our room. But when we woke up in the morning, she was gone. And so were our purses with the $75 we figured would last us all summer and our IDs. Plus, she never paid the motel or dinner bill. Yeah. We went to the manager, and after telling him our sorrowful story, we said we'd do the dishes, be the maid, whatever it would take. But he let us go, saying we could never again stay at one of their motel chains. Well, that was a gimme. We were so poor. So off we went. We decided, with no money in our pockets, we'd go to Elvira's parents' house in San Diego. Now, here we were in Georgia. We got good rides, and on the way, we stopped at a friend's house in Arizona. His name was Jack, and I had met him while working at Old Faithful the summer before. It was a good reunion, And that evening, Jack told us his roommate and a friend of his were heading to Mexico to check out a possible drug deal. And he wondered if Elvira, and I would go along and act like their girlfriends, that they'd get us our own room at a motel and we would be okay, because they weren't actually going to buy the stuff, just put the deal in order. Again, we thought, this is hitchhiking? A free trip to Mexico?
Oh, boy.
Of course we said yes, and away we went in a Jeep to Guadalajara. Before we started on our way back.
So you didn't need a passport or anything then?
No, no. I had to call Dad. Oh, yeah. And say I needed him because I wasn't 18. I needed him to okay it. And
But he was just a voice on the phone, as far as anyone knew.
And he said, we know you're going down there for some other reason. You're going to be put in jail. And I said, no, we're just going. Anyway, so when we got to the border, in Nogales, they called and he said okay, and away we went. So before we started on our way back, the guys told us that they actually did buy the drugs, marijuana bricks, and they stowed them in the extra tire that was in the Jeep. And we should probably put our two-piece bathing suits on in case we were stopped along our way back as a distraction.
This is insane.
I know. Well, we didn't think it was. We just thought, okay. So there were checkpoints all along the way where our men checked people's luggage, etc., to see if they were legit. So we got to the very first checkpoint, and the two guys we were with drove right through it. I turned back in time to see the armed men with their rifles on their shoulders, and I yelled, we have to go back or they're going to shoot us. So the driver told us to take off our t-shirts to show our two-piece bathing suits and flirt with the guys so they wouldn't search so persistently. You didn't know any of this, did you?
Of course not.
We did what they said. We turned back and kept some of the Mexican guys busy while others threw all our clothes on the ground and took everything out except for the spare tire. Yeah. We got back in and we left. And when we got a ways down the road, I said, stop. Let me out. I did not sign up for this job. You promised us you wouldn't have the dope with you. So the deal is off and I'm getting out. And Elvira, you can come with me or not. I don't care. I just know I'm not putting my life in the hands of these two imbeciles. With that, I got out and so did Elvira. We knew no Spanish. We had no idea where we were. And we could hear coyotes howling. Hardly any cars passed. But finally, a banana truck driver gave us a lift all the way.
Oh, those banana truck drivers. They're really nice.
And they're usually older. And so he gave us a lift all the way into Nogales. And then we walked back to my friend Jack's apartment. As soon as we entered, he said, the guys got busted on the American side, so you better get going because they think you two told on them.
Whoa. Yeah.
So away we went as quickly as we could on our way to San Diego again. Long story short, we got out to San Diego to Elvira's parents' house. Oh, you're not going to believe this. So someone called Elvira's home asking for me while I was at work. I was selling magazines over the phone in a brick and mortar store because I had moccasins and they had gone all the way through. So I didn't have any shoes. I tried getting hired at a shoe store, but no. So I was selling magazines from a telephone at the store. And Elvira's brother took the call. When I got home, he said someone had called and asked for Nancy. Well, the only person I knew who called me that, because I went by Nan in those days, was Mom. Mm-hmm. So they let me call her. She asked me where I was, and I said, in California, at Elvira's parents' house. And she said, not Texas? I thought, what? Of course not, I said. I'm trying to make some money to get home. What? What are you thinking?
I think I heard this part many, many years ago. Okay, keep going.
She told me the police had called Dad at work and told them they were holding a woman with my name in jail for attempted robbery, stolen credit card, and prostitution.
Oh, my God. Dad would have had a heart attack.
Well, she said Dad had left work, picked her up at work, and they had driven home distraught and in shock. I adamantly reiterated I was in San Diego, and then it hit me. The girl back in Georgia was using my ID. It took 3 months to clear my name. But at least it wasn't really me that was doing all that damage to her life. Well, you'd think that'd be enough, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Did you go home with your tail between your legs?
It gets worse, Janet. Mm. After about 2 weeks, I finally had enough of San Diego. And I went solo to a truck terminal, thinking I could get a long ride back towards Florida. A semi driver said he could take me to Texas, and I jumped in. All was okay for a while, and we chatted about our backgrounds. He had a daughter about my age, I remember that. But when we came to a toll area, he said he wanted me to dip down so no one would see me because it was against the law for him to have passengers. But I just sat there, visible to the security cameras at the toll booth. Then after a while, he asked me if I wanted to take a nap.
Hmm.
Yeah. I said no, I wasn't tired. And then he put his hand under the seat, and he produced a gun. And he said, are you sure?
Woo.
My eyes bulged, and I swallowed hard. I said, yeah, I'm sure. Then I did the only thing I could think of. I tried to talk my way out of it. I reminded him that I was just trying to get home to my parents and that I was not like his daughter. And what would he think if his own daughter was in a spot like this? He pulled over and he stopped the semi and he got out. He said he was putting the gun in his suitcase that it's like a compartment on the side of the truck. Well, when he got back in, it was without the gun. He kept driving, and I sat with my hands around my pulled-up knees. And as soon as we got to the next town, Yuma, I got out and said I couldn't do this anymore. He watched me go. Mm. I got directions and walked to a Western Union spot and wired Dad.
Uh-oh, the lowest of the low.
Asking Daddy. Him for money to take a bus home. I waited. He wired it. I rode the bus for 2 days and got home safely. Was I ever stupid again? Oh, yeah. I'm thumping my forehead with my hand, trying to knock some sense into my brain. And it was all within a week of getting back to Florida. How stupid can I be? I was hitchhiking back from visiting friends in Orlando in the days before Disney World arrived. And I caught a ride on I-75 towards Gainesville. I caught some good rides, and then some motorcycles went by, and a car just behind them pulled over. I got in the back seat, and there were two guys, both middle-aged, one without some of his front teeth, named Don. They said they were going to Gainesville, so I felt lucky.
Because you were going to Gainesville.
From talking with them, I found out they were with the motorcycle guys up front. And as we pulled into Gainesville, I said they could let me out at the corner. But they just kept going. Ooh. They drove to the racetrack just outside of town where all the motorcycles were, and only then did they let me out of the car. I stood there looking around. The guys were getting out their guns.
Hmm.
Yeah, more guns. And started practice shooting. There were some girls with them, too, just talking to each other. Now, the toothless guy, Don, he laid down in a gully, and I was about 100 yards from him, standing alone, not sure what to do. He yelled my name, and I said, what? And he said, come over here. I said, I can hear you just fine from here. He told me to get over here anyway. So I moved closer till I was standing over him. He reached for my suede belt and pulled me towards him. I can't believe this, but the suede belt ripped in half. Thank God. And in that second, I turned and I ran as fast as I could into the woods. I didn't even have time to look back. But I heard Don yell, hey, that chick we picked up just ran into the woods. The woods turned into a swamp-like mess, and I remember I had on elephant bells, the kind with gigantic bells on the bottom.
Yeah, pants, elephant bell bottoms.
Yeah, I remember I could hardly elephant run with them bells. On, and I knew Florida had alligators. I did my best, and everything I heard sounded like those guys chasing me with their guns. I even remember when I got out from the swamp, I had to cross over some open land, so I did a combat maneuver I learned on TV from watching combat. Well,
like back and forth and back
yeah,
and forth.
Yeah, like sideways, you know.
Oh, God.
And I felt like a deer, I remember, being chased by hunters. And then I saw a house, and a man was outside sweeping, and I yelled to him, and I asked for help, and I must have looked a mess. I could see blood on my face.
He's probably, if he's alive, he's still talking about this.
Probably. he looked up and he saw me and I yelled, "Can you help me?" And he said, "No." And then his wife came out and saw me and yelled, "Yes, come here." So I told them what happened and asked if they could give me a ride back to Gainesville, which they did. Mm-hmm. I never was so glad to be out of that place. I swore I never would hitchhike again. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. But I had another close call when I was in Russia in the early 70s.
Oh, yes, of course. You were in Russia. Well, keep going.
After studying the language for a year at the University of Orono, Maine, I visited that country with about 25 classmates and our advisor. In Moscow, I was standing in line at an outdoor cafe by myself when a guy came up to me with long hair and blue jeans, both unusual for a Russian in those days. He said his name was Yuri, and we struck up a conversation. We sat down and chatted. I recalled our advisor saying to try to get to know the people, so I thought, oh, I'm doing just what he wants. He said his mom was a scientist and his father a doctor, and they had lived in D.C. for 5 years, long enough to like the U.S. He said when they returned to Russia, the powers above insisted that Yuri would get some kind of brain shock work done on him every few months.
Ooh.
And that he had evaded them this time around. He invited me to visit a relative, and I said, oh, okay, I've got all day. It's not like here where you have your own car, though. Rather, you have one car for many people. So we got on a train, and while we were on it, lo and behold, Yuri said the men looking at us were the very ones trying to catch him because he had missed his last brain appointment. So he grabbed my hand, and we ran off at the next stop, which was in the Moscow Hills at the University of Moscow. We had a pretty good head start, so we were able to outrun them, and we hid in the trees. Eventually, we realized they had left. He then secured a car with someone, and the three of us went into the countryside. And that isn't like here in the country either. That there's not hardly any houses. Instead, about every 15 miles or so, there's like a high-rise apartment building where many families live in order to use as much of the land as possible for farming.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the apartment buildings are like, they don't really keep them up. There's no real upkeep. The elevators don't work and stuff. So we went into one of the apartments. We walked up, and I could see two men at the end of a hallway sitting at the kitchen table with a bottle of vodka and two glasses drinking away. There wasn't anybody else home, but I could make out a broken crib and a bedroom to one side of the living room. The men never acknowledged us, so Yuri and I sat down on the couch in the living room. I started to get a little nervous. All of a sudden, he stood up, and I jumped up screaming, "Nyet, nyet," which means no, no. I was so scared what he was up to because my mind was racing. And what with the three other guys in the apartment, I didn't know where I was. I was at their mercy. What a fool I was. I looked at the clock and realized I had to be back in Moscow to catch my bus back to the hotel in 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah, right.
So I told you, otherwise, what was I going to do? I don't know. I told Yuri, and he immediately got the guy to give us a return trip to where I needed to meet up with my classmates. Mm-hmm. And I got there with about 5 minutes to spare. I yelled goodbye to Yuri, and that was it. I took my seat on the bus, and everyone said, "Where were you all day?" And I said, "You wouldn't believe where I've been."
Yeah.
And then there was that time I went to the nudist colony. Did you ever hear that?
I know that you, now that you say it, I know that I'd heard it, but I don't know what happened then.
Well, that was in Tampa. I was at the University of Florida in South Florida, and that's real close to the nudist colony. And my roommate in college, she invited me, and she promised me there would be no nudity. It was just a party.
Yeah, at the nudist colony.
So I said, okay, and when we got there, she was right, no nudity. However, we decided to go to the sauna just down the path. So we put our clothes in a pile, and we were given a towel each to wear. And when I walked in, nobody had their towel on. Well, I was only 17. You know, I had never seen the naked body of a man. I was shocked. My eyes went to the ceiling, and I stammered, "I have to leave." And my roommate stayed, and I walked quickly outside, still with the towel on. Just then, a man came towards me, also with a towel on, and he reached out to me and he said, "What are you afraid of?" And I started crying, but I couldn't tell him why. I turned and jogged back to the party. I changed into my clothes, and I left discreetly, like, "Oh, I'm just walking outside." And then as I walked outside, I saw a car's headlights coming towards me. And I quickly jumped into the ditch beside the road, and I waited for the sound of the car to indicate it wasn't there anymore. I got up, I brushed myself off, and I saw a house, another house across the street. Good old houses. So I went up to the door, I knocked, and a man came to the door. I told him I was coming from the nudist colony, and I got scared, and could he give me a ride back to the dorm? And he said, "Whoa, you're the second girl this week to come here asking the same thing."
Oh, God.
He and his wife gave me a ride back, and my resident hall mother took me to the hospital. The doctor asked permission to call Mom and Dad, and afterwards he recommended I go home that weekend. I did, and I'll never forget Dad saying, "If you ever want to talk about it, you can. I'll listen." I never once said anything to him, but still, he reached out to me that little bit. And I'll never forget that. And the very last close call.
Yes.
One more.
And you're sitting here as a much, as an actual old person.
Yeah. I lived through it. This was when I went to the movies with my boyfriend at the time, Hank. I was a sophomore in college. And after the movie, he took me into a field he knew about to make out, of course. But we got in an argument, and I got out of the car, and I walked a ways and then sat down. Did you ever hear about this?
No.
Hank started up his car. It was a Porsche. And he tried to find me. He found me. He ran me over. He didn't realize it. I screamed, and he jumped out, and with adrenaline on high, with one hand, he held up the front of the car, and with the other, he pulled me out by my arm. My back was scratched all the way from my shoulders to my butt. And when we got home, he came into the house with me. And Dad was there, and I explained to him that I had fallen while walking on the sidewalk to the movies.
Oh, right.
And he said, I'll never forget, "Were you children, drinking?" "No, sir," said Hank. When I got back to college that weekend, I had to sit on a pillow during every class because my butt hurt so badly. And eventually I went to the hospital, and they bandaged me up. So these were all close calls, all from making
Stupid, extremely poor choices.
Yeah. Maybe from being raised naively, but still, bad choices. So far, I haven't had any direct hits. I think, Janet, that I'm wiser now. At least I hope so. I always say, what's the worst that could happen to you? And if you can live with that result, go for it. Unfortunately, I didn't listen to myself. I'm not proud of my decisions. During my stupid years, I screwed up a lot. Oh, it was exciting, but it could have ended up so horribly. Please don't be naive like me if you're a younger person listening to this. Don't think the best of everyone. I hate to say that, but if you're young, use my adage above. What's the worst that could happen to you? And if you can't live with it, don't do it. I would have loved to have had a quieter life. Instead, I was stupid, and several times I almost lost my life. So I'm over my stupid years. Yes, I am. And I'm so glad I got through them.
Nobody believes that.
Relatively unscathed. I accept responsibility for my past. I just don't ever want to repeat it. Janet and I come to you twice a month with new episodes. Some are funny. Some are serious. Some are just our crazy opinions. I hope you enjoyed our show.
Me too. It's been a pleasure. We are Nancy and Janet,
the Bitchin' Sisters.
Music by Hall and Sidnor.